You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick.
Sit down.
Sit down! Now!
And Matty Rose.
Great. Okay, what is it?
Because I think he's a slug. I think he's lazy.
On Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Hour number two. The Big Show, Russick and Rose. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, powered by MortgagesToGo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit MortgagesToGo.ca. You got some tickets to give away?
Yes, we do.
We're going to play a clip for all you parents out there to teach your kids how to deal with losing a game. Courtesy of the brow himself, Anthony Davis. We'll play that little clip for you. We'll talk to Matt Marchese. He is the producer of the Jeff Merrick Show on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network. Host of the Fan Checkdown. Talk some Stanley Cup playoffs. Where's Wee Willie Nylander? In which round are the Oilers going to lose? The second or the third? We'll talk to him about that. And the miraculous recovery of Mark Stone. It's a miracle!
He's got a working about that spleen too. Now.
Science has come so far.
Yeah.
Made one out of a beer can for him.
Oh, nice.
Stuck it in there.
Nice.
Really?
It's nice.
Yeah, he's got two now, an artificial and the real one.
Okay, great.
Beer can, though.
That doesn't seem right. Okay. We got some tickets to give away. We also have a ginormous concert announcement to do right at 8 o'clock. And then we're going to give away tickets to said concert. It's a big, big time announcement.
Massive.
Big announcement. And like tickets for the rest of the week after we announce this concert.
Yeah.
Including today.
Beating the box office. They'll go officially on sale on Friday. But you can get
in. Like you could
that.
Really beat the box
Damn
office.
Right.
Not like one of those things like, hey, break the box, and then you can go buy tickets.
Then they're on sale in like a couple hours.
Yeah, no. It's a big one.
I'm excited.
We'll do it at 8 o'clock. We've been asking you, because we like to give away tickets to our 6 a.m. listeners, because they're a hardcores. They get up early like we do, but they also work 8 hours, unlike we do, because they're the real hardcores, because we're just lazy slugs, as you just heard. We have a 4-pack of tickets to give away as Team Canada takes on Team Japan on Saturday, May 4th, down at Winsport for the World Para Ice Hockey Championship. We've been asking you a 960-960 name and location. Watching McJesus get five assists in a Stanley Cup playoff game makes me feel like blank. Watching McDavid get five assists in a playoff game makes me feel like blank. 960-960 name and location. Texty McTexterson, of course, is our Sportsnet 960 The Fan texturing robot. I'm looking at the first career 50 Stanley Cup playoff games, most points. McDavid, third on the list, 80 points in 50 games.
He's only 21 behind Gretzky.
Yeah, Gretzky, 104 points in his first 50 playoff games.
Sorry.
And Mario, 101. Not bad.
How many rings?
Not bad. Lots of rings between those guys.
Sorry.
Go for Connor.
Couldn't do it there.
Connor has zero. The bid is zero.
Sorry.
And it'll continue after the season.
Sorry, I can't help myself.
Ready after one game, you're already not going to win the cup.
My stance has not changed on them.
All right.
The roster is flawed. Eventually, it'll roost. It'll come to roost. Eventually, they'll get exposed.
I don't think LA is going to
expose them.
Well, no, I don't know if LA's going to win a game, but there's just so much that you're watching the game and you're like, you can't do that. You can't do that against the Oilers. Oh, nope. Another bad penalty. Nope. Another bad penalty. Oh, great. Oh, got the stick up there. Oh, you got a power play opportunity. You got to score here. Where's your $9 million man?
Like,
create a little offense.
Like, what were they on? They were 3-for-4 on the power play yesterday?
Yep.
Yeah. Again.
Kings were 0-for-2.
Oof.
The goalies played. Skinner was significantly better than Talbot.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this last night, too. If we get a Canuck, and again, game ones, everybody always overreacts to game
ones. Of course.
Ones. Mm-hmm. It's like week one in the NFL. Everybody's like, oh, series is over. It would be interesting to watch a Canucks-Oilers second-round series.
Yeah, it would be. But
that would be an electric series.
But then one of them gets to the conference
first
finals.
First time
then I'm
92.
Wrong. They
would have met in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Make a bold prediction.
I'm saying in those two barns, it would be pretty electric. Yeah, and then like they'd
Calgary caught in the mill.
They'd show like Chad Kroger would just be pointing to Kevin James in the crowd again in Vancouver. Did you see that clip?
Yeah, I did.
Is Kroger a Canucks fan guy? I know they live out in Vancouver.
I thought he's from Alberta.
I know,
what the
but
hell?
They relocated to Vancouver in like 2000, though.
It's a rock star. Whoever asked them to go, they wear their jersey. Come on. What are we talking about? Are you going to rip on these guys for this? Come on.
You're right. But you should also pledge allegiance to where you're from. Yeah, okay. So 960. Excuse you got free tickets. Oh, yeah. So you get free tickets to the Oilers and Blake, you're going to put an Oilers sweater on?
No.
Come on. All right, 960.
Like, Noah Kahn literally just did the Canadian tour, and
he wore every jersey,
including London. He wore a Knights jersey.
But that's what they do.
That's what
jersey.
I mean.
What about them Flames? Yeah!
How about them Flames?
He said our team's name.
Yeah! He knows who we are.
He's got his name on the back of the jersey.
What about Jonathan Huberdeau's disappointing season for the second year in a row? No, why? What's up, Calgary? Is Markstrom gone? What?
What?
What happened?
Pierce burned it to the ground. What?
All right, 960, name and location. McDavid getting 5 assists in the Stanley Cup playoff game makes me feel like blank. Go, Texty.
Brian in Huzar. McDavid getting 5 assists makes me feel irrational anger and I lash out at my Oiler friends.
Okay.
That, Brad in Airdrie.
Oh, wow, okay.
Connor popping for 5 apples makes me feel like the Flames are a long ways off.
Well, you're not wrong.
Sick.
You're not wrong.
Thanks.
Yeah. But he's also like,
great.
Come on. But you want to talk about players in the NHL? Just exclude that guy from everybody else's fair. That guy's just an alien. Like, you can't. He's a freak.
You can't plan for that.
Yeah, no. He's just so much better than everybody else. Like, we talk about Hart trophies and whatever. But when that guy's going, he's literally unstoppable. Like, you just can't.
Well, and we always talk about McKinnon and, you know, what he does in the regular season
and
is
Matthews
always
was
Hart
great last night.
But that's always Hart Trophy, you know, caliber during the regular season.
Yeah.
But then you get to the playoffs and he elevates.
Yeah.
We hadn't necessarily seen that from Matthews. Did it yesterday. We hadn't necessarily seen it from McDavid. Did it yesterday.
No, like
takes one run to change a narrative.
Yeah, we have. Well, no, we've definitely seen it from McDavid when he was all video game mode when they got to the conference finals, but still got crushed by the Avalanche. He was unreal.
They got swept.
Well, I know, but to get there, he was
first goal last night. Zach Hyman. Like that's the thing that Edmonton hasn't had. They've got another 50 goal guy on their team that can do the work.
Just someone that can clean up when McDavid's around the net. Like
you could, like what the Jets did in that Canadian Division Series. Okay, you just take away McDavid and Draisaitl. We can just take everything else is whatever. And the Jets sweep away the Oilers because you take away their 2 best players. They can't do anything. Now you can maybe take away McDavid or maybe take away Draisaitl, but there's going to be other guys on that team that are going to be picking up the slack.
Again, it's only one game.
Yeah,
it's only one game. But Talbot was left out to dry there for big stretches in that game last night.
Make a stop too, like
yeah, of course,
early on,
yep. And there's a lot of energy
like
in that
Henrique one.
And,
I'm like, oh,
yeah, and you know his first goal in the playoffs in 74 years, which is really impressive.
Yeah, since the First World War.
Yep.
Wow.
Incredible pretty stuff. Much. First World War was
Daryl's first cup.
Man, that was tough. It was a tough one. All right, keep going.
Tanner in Coaldale. McDavid getting 5 assists in a playoff game makes me feel like I spent all last night bellied up to a bar drinking draft craft beer by the pitcher.
Okay, Tanner.
Oops.
Just trying to drink away the pain and watching McDavid get 5 assists.
That guy, I'm going to tell you right now, needs a water.
Yep.
Yeah, mix it in water.
Probably needs a water. I bet he is dehydrated today.
Yep. Mix it in water, Tanner. And again, when you watch that guy, you're like, because this is what I've noticed about Alberta. They love hockey. They love the game of hockey. They love the sport of hockey.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a Flames fan, you're like, God. And you're going to be cheering for McDavid in that fictitious Four Nations Cup we got coming up, whatever.
I'll be cheering for his line mates.
Okay. But then in the Olympics, you're like, oh, man, this is going to be awesome.
What if it's a McDavid golden goal?
Maybe.
To beat the Americans.
That'll be good.
In 26?
In Milan.
Yeah, okay. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm in.
But I mean, like
for like all
but
of
I mean,
48
like,
hours, and I'm right back to the old school.
Right back
but
to
I mean,
them.
Like, yeah, you're conflicted if you're a Flames fan.
Slightly.
You're like, I love hockey, but I watch that guy and what a freak he is, and how like he just flies around the ice like nothing like, we've ever seen before.
And honestly,
like, God,
the Vegas-Dallas game was significantly more fun to watch than what Edmonton and LA put together yesterday.
Well, yeah.
It was actually close.
Yeah, because the Oilers just,
they just manhandled
blew their doors off.
It wasn't even close.
All right, keep it
rolling. The same way that Hurricanes-Islanders game. Like,
yeah.
The end of that was
electric.
It was the best.
Ryan in Chestermere. Connor McDavid getting 5 assists makes me feel worse than when I have to bail my wife's boyfriend out of jail.
All right, Ryan. Okay.
That is a bad vibe, eh?
Yeah, I feel like that's one of those.
Especially
where it's like,
you get there and you're like, dude, you said Bond was 5, yeah. It's 10?
Like, that's also like the same one when you see a comment like, my wife left me, you know, nudes in the profile. Like, it's the same thing. It's the same comment underneath the tweet.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the exact same thing. I get it, Ryan.
Bail
you
out,
fish me in, bail out your boyfriend. Like, what a boss
boyfriend.
That boyfriend is. You bailed him out.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That guy's living life.
Right, well, he was in the clink, so I don't know about living life.
Jenna in Calgary makes me feel like love, funny inside, like dancing, like smiling, like wearing an Oilers jersey in your building, chugging beers, taking my dad to a game, like twirling around and like taking my dad to a game.
Wedley?
Jenna.
Jenna.
Oh. Oh. See, Jenna, the way this works here on this radio station is, don't know if you're aware of this, Jenna, and we appreciate you listening. Because we have a lot of women listening to our show, because that's who I speak to all the time on this show. We're the home of the Calgary Flames.
Mm-hmm.
And you're professing your love for the Oilers. Although I appreciate your text and I appreciate your effort.
He wants to go to the World Para Ice Hockey game.
But yeah, there's still zero chance for giving you tickets.
Yeah,
top text, Jenna can beat it.
Yeah exactly. In so many words. Sorry, Jenna, I appreciate you.
We appreciate it. But
we're not giving an Oilers fan tickets like that.
It's
sorry.
Nice of you to listen, but welcome to the block party.
More like Tanner.
party.
More like Tanner, you know, hammering beers to numb his pain.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right up our alley. Dehydrated Tanner.
Yeah. Okay, keep him rolling.
Yes.
Jenna.
Brandon Olds.
Jenna!
Watching Connor McDavid get 5 assists in an NHL playoff game makes me feel like I'm back in the 80s watching the winner.
I think that meant Weiner. Maybe he's talking about
Wayne
Gretzky.
Okay, yeah. It's another tough pill to swallow,
but
too.
Winner. He was a winner.
Watching Wayne back in the day. All right, keep him rolling.
Dennis in Airdrie. Seeing McDavid getting 5 assists makes me feel like tying his skates together so he can fall on his face.
like an old Disney
gotcha!
Film.
Gotcha! Gotcha, Connor. All right, like Dennis. Yeah, tying his skates together because McDavid wouldn't notice.
No, probably not. Yeah,
he would probably like explode through the laces anyway.
Yeah, I've never seen a hockey player forget their skate blades in the NHL, but yeah, he wouldn't be able to notice his skates tied together.
Well, who told, I saw it on a broadcast, there's only two guys in the league who don't use.
It's Crosby and McDavid.
Yeah.
It was on one of the broadcasts.
Yeah, they're the only two guys who don't have the flip-offable blades on their blades.
They like it old school.
They like it old school.
The old zip-offs, if you will.
Yep.
Change them out.
And I'm like, those guys kind of know what they're doing.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. But those guys are like talking the elite of the elite.
Yeah.
Talking the top like 0.00001% of the NHL.
There's a lot of players in the NHL who probably don't feel like they're in that level.
No. What's that? What?
I said it was hot at the Hall of Fame, but Phil Esposito endorsed a skate in the 70s. It was different. It was like a figure skate. It was like a long track skate.
Really?
Yeah, but what it was uncomfortable looking and everything, and he's like one of the only players that endorsed it, and it was gone within like 2 years. But they tried to change the skate model, like what the boot
did
looked
they,
like.
Did they
it
also,
was modeled after ski boot. That's what it was.
Did they also have the, because when the California Golden Seals were in the NHL, their owner insisted on them wearing white skates.
Yep.
It's because they're the same owner as the
skates.
Athletics.
Yeah. Lang skates is what they were called.
All right. One more. Or two
one.
More.
I got one more.
Travis in Bonus makes me feel like I cheer for the right Albertan team.
You're not winning. Yeah,
block party.
Sorry, Travis. I kind of like Dennis tying his skates together. What do you think?
I like Dennis. Yeah.
All right, play Dennis again.
Dennis or Dehydrated Tanner? It was both one of the two.
Dennis in Airdrie, seeing McDavid getting five assists makes me feel like tying his skates together so he can fall on his face.
Okay, Dennis. Congratulations, Dennis in Airdrie. You're going to see Canada take on Team Japan on Saturday, May 4th at the 2024 World Para Ice Hockey Championship at Winsport. Then on Friday, one lucky listener will win the grand prize of four tickets to the gold medal game on May 12th. We also have a ginormous concert announcement coming up at 8 o'clock. It's a massive one.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll also have a text topic, and we have to take phone calls for this one.
Oh, you must. Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to want to call in and potentially win tickets to this concert. Matt Marchese.
Calling from your cell phone, your payphone.
Landlines.
Who the hell uses their payphone anymore?
Get to a payphone. Landlines, whatever you need to do. So, real quick here. Lakers lost on a buzzer beater by Canadian Jamal Murray scoring at the end. Anthony Davis was kind of there, and then if you actually watch the clip, he kind of gets overwhelmed by all the Nuggets players getting excited and gets kind of pushed into their bench.
Yep.
And, he's just sitting there like, what happened? He was asked about the play post-game, and he was Mr. Sour Pants.
Oh.
Here's the clip.
To kind of piggyback off that one, can you take us through that last play and just what happened and what unfolded? What was, I don't know if you were screened or what happened on that last play.
Jamal Murray made a shot.
And he left. And that was it.
Banged it.
He just banged the microphone down. Jamal Murray made a shot and he left. That was
Jamal Murray made a shot.
He got him.
Jarring mic drop.
Yeah. Sour pants.
That's not a
lesson to all you parents
out
there.
He's not wrong.
Don't be a sore sport like Anthony Davis.
Why the parents? What about the kids?
I don't know. Just tell your kids, I guess. I don't know. Don't be a sore sport like Anthony Davis.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Tell your kids or your parents.
What's going on with Willie Nylander? What round are the Oilers going to lose in the playoffs? And why are the Golden Knights such liars? That's all straight ahead with Matt Marchese. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It's the Big Show, Russick and Rose, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Powered by mortgagestogo.ca. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. Top of the hour, we have a massive concert announcement. And then you have a chance to win tickets to said concert. That's what we're doing here. That's exciting. And then we'll talk to David Pagnotta right after that. We'll talk to Jesse Granger, covers the Golden Knights for The Athletic. Talk about how they cheat. And then we'll give away concert tickets. And Patrick's got an update on what's going on right now at the World Under 18 Junior Hockey Championships from Uzbekistan.
I don't even know if it's an update, but Thailand.
Is it actually going on right now?
Yeah, it's live right now. IIHF U18 Asia and Oceania Cup 2024. So I guess it's their World Juniors.
Yeah.
Thailand just went up 57-0 with 13 seconds left on Kuwait.
57-0 in a
Kuwait
hockey game.
Has one shot on net to Thailand's 115.
What did you guys watch during the pandemic?
Kuwaiti ice hockey. That's what
marble
I watched.
Racing.
Mine was, I believe it was Thai baseball.
No, it was the Korean League.
The Korean League was the first one back.
Is that the one that started playing first?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where I fell in love with the Bundesliga.
They were one of the first ones back
there. Damn right they were. Hmm. All right, our next guest is waiting on the line way too long. On the Atlas Suites and Sports Bar guest hotline, you see him on the Jeff Merrick program, on the Sportsnet radio, and you hear him. Well, you see him on TV, and then you listen to him on the Sportsnet radio network and on the Fan Checkdown. Matt Marchese, hello, sir. How are you?
Guys, I'm really disappointed. I bet the under in that matchup, and I feel like I lost a mortgage payment on it. I can't believe it.
Again, hey, shooter's got to shoot.
Bad beat, bro. Bad beat.
Watching that game, the poor Kuwaiti guys couldn't skate. Like they were falling in front of their net.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. Shocker.
Who's stunned by this revelation?
Yeah. What's more surprising? That Kuwait has a hard time skating against Thailand in an under-18 World Junior game, or Mark Stone miraculously recovers from a lacerated spleen and somehow plays game one, and not only that, scores a goal, and not only that, plays the most ice time among forwards, Matty. Or second amongst forwards
Get it right.
In ice time.
I'm going to say that the fact that the Kuwaiti players couldn't skate is more of a surprise than Mark Stone having the night
okay.
that he did.
I agree with you. Now, do yeah, cheaters always cheat when it comes to the Golden Knights? Is that how this works?
So, you know, it's funny. I make jokes about it, but I actually am okay with it. Like, cheat all you want. It's not like it's cheating, but it's not really cheating. You know
it's
what I mean?
Circumventing like, the salary cap?
Of course. Yep. Find that loophole.
Yep.
Here's the thing, though. What people forget is that, like, if a guy goes on an LTIR and the NHL has raised eyebrows, if I'm not mistaken, like, they have to go do their research and find out if this is true. Like, I don't think you could just plop a guy on there. There has to be a legitimate reason. Now, in this case,
like allergic to equipment.
Kind of,
anyway, go ahead.
Sure,
sorry.
Sure. As far as I know, they have to do some investigating into these types of things. So, Mark Stone he had a lacerated spleen. My grandmother also had a lacerated spleen, and she was up and walking and whatever in 3 weeks, 2 weeks, and she's 86 years old. So, I mean, there are things that you can do to help aid in this process. I don't know how many painkillers that Mark Stone took to deal with that pain. It looked pretty good last night. It could have been the smallest little laceration as well. So I'm of two minds on it. Like, I get why people get pissed off about it, but in the same breath, if you're not trying to do whatever you can to win, that means, you know, be owners over the salary cap or whatever they are going into the playoffs, so be it. Like, I'm okay with that. Plenty of teams have done it. It's just that Vegas, Tampa, they've actually been successful when they've done it. That's the difference.
Listen, I get it. You know, the old saying, you know, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying, blah, blah, blah. But how everyone was playing this, oh, no, this is very serious. He might not even play in the second round. And then all of a sudden, oh, he's cleared for contact. And then all of a sudden, miraculously, the timing just reeks. And the optics of it all just stinks really bad. That he's ready just in time for game one of the playoffs. I'm just saying, you're right. Like, it's the league's fault that they're allowed to do all these things. Clearly, their team doctor is James Woods from any given Sunday in Vegas. So, like, I get it. But it just stinks, Matty, because all the insiders are telling us, oh, no, this is serious. You know, they're not fooling around. Frank was on on my show last week going, oh, no, George, this is serious. It's a lacerated spleen. Oh, no, it's second round maybe. And then all of a sudden magically appears and scores a goal and they take game one. It just sucks. It sucks because the optics of it sucks. And I'm sure there's some GMs around the league who are pissed off this morning.
Yeah, I totally agree. I always thought it was Dr. Nick from The Simpsons that was the team doctor. But, there's part of me that I don't love it, but also part of me where it's like, hey, they're playing within the rules of the game. And if they, you know what? Because if they got caught and they were lying about an injury like this, there would be massive ramifications for this. So that's why part of me says, you know, if they were lying about it, they took a chance. And I don't think that they're willing to take that kind of a chance.
It felt like it gave a little bit of an extra boost to the Knights for game one. How do the Stars get this series back on track?
To get back playing their game. It was almost as if Vegas just dictated. And I know it was 3-2 after one, but it really felt like Vegas controlled a lot of the play. And I think that's part of it. Listen, Jake Ottinger has to be better too. That's one thing that, whereas in the last couple of seasons, we weren't having conversations about Jake Ottinger being, you know, the quote-unquote problem on this team. And I don't think he's a problem, but I think that's the biggest question mark for the Stars. He allowed 4 goals yesterday and 3 in the first period. He did settle down after that, but that he has to be lights out good because, yes, the Stars are very good, both up front and on the back end. I think they've got a lot of depth. They may be the most balanced team in the league, but the difference is that you're playing maybe the second best team in the West. They just happen to not finish there. So you have to be at the top of your game every single night in this series. The fact that you lost game one at home is not, it's not the best thing, but it's not the be all end all. Dallas is a really good team. They've got so much balance. I think that's the key is Ottinger has to be very good because Vegas now with having Stone back and they added Hurdle and Hanifin on the back end adding some offense. It's a really, really good team with a lot of balance, and they're nasty. They go to the net. They make things difficult for the opposing goalie. I think that has to be the biggest question going into game two is, can you get a somewhat elite Jake Oettinger? And if you do, then I think you have a chance to win the series. If you don't, Vegas is going to run all over you. I believe that the winner of this is the team that is going to represent the West in the Stanley Cup Final. I feel very strongly about both of these teams.
Did you enjoy the masterclass by LA on how to not play against the Edmonton Oilers yesterday?
Boy, oh boy. I mean, the one thing about LA is, what do we always say? Well, they can defend really well. Well, they didn't do a very good job of that yesterday. And, you know, McDavid with five assists and Bouchard with four, Hyman the hat trick. I mean, you're right. It was literally the opposite of what you should be doing if you are the LA Kings. Here's and it's the same question that we had all season. Cam Talbot starts out the season, guns a-blazing. He's one of the best goalies through the first 2 months of the year. Then they go into that slide, and then you're like, okay, well, what's behind him? Phoenix Copley's out for the year. David Riddick, that's the backup answer. And what we had talked about leading up to the trade deadline, and basically from the time they had fired Todd McClellan, was, is the goaltending going to be good enough? Well, it wasn't good enough. And it won't be good enough. And if they have to go to David Riddick, it's still not going to be good enough. It's funny how many teams you believe are contenders, and you look at the roster, and then you get to the goalies, and you're like, boy, oh boy, I'm not so sure about that. You have the same conversation in Colorado. You could have the same conversation with a couple teams in the East, named like Carolina, although they won yesterday. But you could have that same conversation about Carolina. Is the goaltending going to be good enough? And LA's goaltending is not good enough. And, I mean, they did score four yesterday, but offensively, I mean, it's not – you'd like to think with all the skill and talent that they have that they can be good, but they're not world beaters, and that's the big difference. In L.A., they have a lot of the same type of players, and I don't know that that dynamic works for you in a series against the Oilers where they have the elite talent, but they can throw different looks at you, whether it be – you know, a good third line, or, you know, Adam Henrique scores for the first time in what felt like two decades in the playoffs, but they can throw different looks at you. LA just throws the same thing at you all the time, aside from Victor Arvidsson. So I don't see a path to the Kings winning this year. The Oilers are that much better. Do I think it's going to be a short series? Not. I think it's probably still going six, but it's not going to be a, hey, this series was really close and it went six games. I think the Oilers could have a couple of duds, and then they have four dominating performances, and that's the series.
Which tandem would you prefer to have moving forward if you had the option? What they have in Vegas, what they have in Colorado, what they have in L.A.?
Oh, my God. You're hitting me with the hard ones this morning.
Mm. It's what we're known for.
I'd probably go with Vegas. Adin Hill has proven to be that guy. Logan Thompson has had, you know, moments where he's been very, very good. I don't trust Alexander Georgiev. I don't trust Eustace Annanen or whoever ends up backing up if he's not, you know, in the mix. And I certainly don't trust what I've seen in LA. I'll go based on the track record that Adin Hill has done it, and I'm more comfortable with Logan Thompson than I am most of the other goalies that we mentioned. Like, Of those goalies, I'd probably take both the Vegas goalies over everybody that we had just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's how not confident I am in the LA tandem, and certainly not Georgiev. Georgiev was horrible in game one against the Jets. And everybody's like, oh, well, he was an all-star. What happened to him? He's in the all-star game because he had the most wins at the time of any starting goalie.
Yeah.
Like, this was a popularity contest. It wasn't based on, you know, who had a better year. We could say whatever we want. Jacob Markstrom had a better year than Alexander Georgiev if you really do a deep dive on it. And I know he struggled later in the year, but Markstrom was a better goaltender than Alexander Georgiev. I would have taken him on Colorado in a nanosecond over Georgiev. So, I mean, I don't trust any of those goaltending tandems. And all three of them have Stanley Cup aspirations. I just don't think they're going to get there.
Matt Marchese from the Jeff Merrick Show, fan checkdown host, joining us here on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, I guess, hotline. Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan. Your thoughts when you saw Linus Allmark in goal for the Bruins last night?
My brain said, what the heck is going on here? But I had a feeling that they were going to Allmark. Even we had Andrew Raycroft on the show yesterday, and Jeff asked him that question. And Jeff said, who would you go with? And he said, well, I'd go with Swayman. He says, but I think they're going to go to Allmark. And it turns out that they did. I think this is a lot of coaches overthinking their process. It's like Jeremy Swayman was absolutely lights out on Saturday night against the Leafs. You could make the argument he was the biggest difference in that game. He was that good. To go to Allmark, and this is not a shot against Allmark, it's just Swayman's coming off of a really good game. What's going on in Swayman's brain now where he says, I just had one of my best performances of the season, and I can't even get back into the net? Like, goalies are a very fragile bunch, and I'm not speaking out of turn here because I know plenty of goalies. And their psyche with something as simple as you're not starting the next game, that could potentially break a goaltender. Because now he's looking at it going, well, was Allmark the reason why they lost yesterday? No, but Swayman was excellent, so there was no reason to not start him. I don't care if you've been rotating your goalies all season. It doesn't matter. It's almost as if they looked at last year's playoff and said, well, hold on. We did that where we played Allmark for four games, and it didn't work out in our favor. We lost the series to Florida. I think that's just overthinking it. If the goalie's playing well, you play him. And you know what? If he goes out and has a dud, well, you live with the consequences. Because evidently, they would be in the same position now if Swayman had a bad game than they were with Allmark in net. I was very surprised. I think a lot of times coaches just get in their own heads, and they're like, oh, we can't do that same thing. Well, it's different. Swayman's been the better goalie than Allmark this season. Why would you not ride the hot hand? And so was that the reason why they lost? No, it wasn't. But at the same time, I thought Swayman looked a lot more comfortable than Allmark did in his start on Saturday.
How much does this Nylander situation have a bit of an odor to it?
George, I've never seen something so locked down in my life in this business. Like, usually you're able to find out some stuff. I've been able to decipher absolutely nothing. He skated yesterday for 50 minutes so he had a regular practice with the team, didn't take any line rushes, none of that. And then he ended up skating for a little bit longer after. So you're like, okay, maybe he's getting a little bit of work in. Then you see he's not in the warm-up. My first thought was, do you have to be in the warm-up in order to play in the game? And I don't know that there's a rule, but I was like, if there were ever head games, that would be the one. Mm. I know that there's been some jokes out there that he's been scratched. And they're not scratching a $10 million, almost $11 million player in the first two games of the playoffs after they got rinsed on Saturday 5-1. That's just not happening. This team struggles to score goals against Boston. The guy who's your second leading scorer, he's your second best forward. And so I don't see how that – I just don't know what it is. I think that's why everybody's so confused about what's going on, because usually you get something. But we are getting literally zero right now. So that's the part where I'm very confused by all of this. You want William Nylander in your lineup, because you look at Nylander maybe playing on that third line and getting premium matchups and then being able to shuffle him up and down the lineup. Also, the power play would be a lot better with him on there instead of, you know, Mitch Marner trying to take one-timers from the half boards, which is bizarre. It does have a weird odor to it, I agree, but I do think that we might get a little bit more clarity as this goes on. After him skating for 50 minutes yesterday and practicing the day before, I feel like I would be very surprised if he did not play tomorrow night in Toronto. But I've been shocked before. I mean, it would be one of the more surprising things if he didn't. But at the same time, you'd have to think that it has to be something pretty serious for William Nylander to not play in the game, because he basically had not missed a game for injury over the last, whatever it was, 8 years. That's a pretty significant number. So the Leafs could use him. The other guy that's making $10 million is on a milk carton. And I think William Nylander just brings an element. He's been their best forward in the playoffs, and I know it's not saying much, but he's been their best forward in the playoffs the last 4 years in terms of consistency. So you need him in your lineup if you want to win this series.
Fascinated to watch the rest of this one after a split in Boston. I want to ask you about the Hurricanes and the Islanders as well. How much more dangerous is this Hurricanes team than they have been in the past?
Well, you add Gensel and you have a revitalized Evgeny Kuznetsov. I think the key for all of this is we've seen such a big improvement from Seth Jarvis. Scored again last night. He had such a great season in the regular season, and he just carried it over into the playoffs. You know, Svechnikov is healthy. Martin Natchez is super talented. Sebastian Aho is awesome. It's just there's a lot of balance. They can throw three lines at you that can score. They have an element of physicality. Their defensive group in terms of 1 through 6 is as good as anybody else's in the league. They're super dangerous. I always will go back to I do not trust Freddie Anderson in the playoffs.
I wonder why.
The guy made 9 saves on 12 shots yesterday, and if it weren't for the Islanders completely buckling and allowing, I think it was 110 shots towards the goal to 28. Like, talk about being outclassed and outmatched. Freddie Anderson against a good offensive team, I'm not super confident in that. The only thing is that I think Kochetkov is a good enough goalie that he can go on a run. I don't know that Freddie Anderson is that guy. So while I think they can score goals, if they go against a team that's not as offensively inept as the Islanders are, I think that does spell trouble. Like, they got to play the Rangers in the second round. That's not an easy matchup for the Hurricanes, especially for their goaltender. So as much as I want to say I believe in them, I believe in everyone but the goaltender, and I would not be surprised if Pyotr Kochetkov makes multiple starts in the playoffs and eventually takes over the starting role from Freddie Anderson. That's how not confident I am in the guy.
Yeah, nobody lets in soul-crushing goals in a Game 7 like Freddie Anderson. Real quick, we got about a minute to go here, Matty. You host a great job. You do a great job of hosting the Fan Checkdown. The draft is on Thursday. Are the Arizona Cardinals the team you have your eye on the most trading out of that number 4 spot?
So interesting, because I thought it was going to be the Cardinals, but they traded out last year. I do see maybe a situation where the Cardinals trade out of 4 and then trade back up to like maybe 6 to try and get one of the wide receivers. I'd imagine that if someone is trading up to number 4, I know the Vikings have been up there. We've heard the Giants trading up to 4. I do wonder about Marvin Harrison getting to 5. And if I'm being honest, guys, I know this is going to sound really hot takey. I don't think he's the wide receiver with the most upside in this draft. I think that's Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers had the better year last year, and I know that Marvin Harrison didn't have C.J. Stroud throwing him to him last year. He had McCord throwing to him. So, yes, not great. It's a big step down. I get it. But Malik Nabers was explosive. He had better numbers. He probably should have won the Biletnikoff. So I think that if the Cardinals trade down, they're going to be able to get a wide receiver at number 6 if that's where they can get to. The curiosity for me is, are we going to see 4 quarterbacks taken in the first 4 picks? It seems like it's trending that direction because of this late surge by J.J. McCarthy up people's draft boards. I don't see it with J.J. McCarthy. I don't know what other people see. The best thing that I have seen in this draft process is there anyone smarter than Jim Harbaugh talking up his quarterback from Michigan, who may not actually be very good, but Jim Harbaugh talked him up like he was the next coming of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
And so that allows the Chargers to basically have their pick of whoever they want that's not a quarterback at number 5. But I think there's going to be a lot of action. You know, the Bills are a team to watch to trade up, although I feel like that's less likely. I wonder, the more optimal thing for me is I think they might go wide receiver in the first and second round. They don't have a third round pick. I wonder if they do that.
What if they call the Niners for Ayuk?
I don't think that they have the capital to make that deal. The Niners were looking for a deal that was, I believe it was pick 17 with Jacksonville and Zay Jones for Brandon Ayuk. The Bills just don't have that to offer. They pick at 28. I would love to see it. I think Brandon Ayuk would flourish with Josh Allen, but I think you're more likely to see the Bills go down a road. And I've thought a lot about this in terms of the success of it. The road that the Green Bay Packers did, just draft three wide receivers in the draft and start adding to, and somebody's, you don't need the stud. Maybe if you have two number twos and a really good tight end like they do with Dalton Kincaid and a good running game, maybe that's enough for Josh Allen. Because, I mean, Stephon Diggs was horrible in the second half of the year, and the Bills were 6-1 in the games where he was horrible and 5-5 in the games that he was good. So do I think that there could be a guy that they could get at 28 that could end up being a star? Sure, Josh Allen can make guys stars. But I think the Bills are of intrigue as well. I think there's going to be a lot of movement, especially because of the quarterbacks and, you know, Michael Penix falling out of the top 10, which is very likely. Maybe the Raiders snatch him up. Maybe somebody trades up to get him. I think there's lots of intrigue because of the quarterback position and the fact that there are a lot of teams that need quarterbacks right now.
Matt Marchese from the Jeff Merrick Show, Fan Checkdown host. Matty, always a pleasure. Thanks for this, pal. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Anytime.
There he is in the Atlas Pizza and Sports Market guest hotline. Straight ahead, a massive concert announcement and your chance to win tickets to said concert. And David Pagnotta of the Fourth Period. Straight ahead, Big Show, Russick and Rose, 960 The Fan.